and they certainly need our prayers, and so we are blessed to be able to partner with people around the globe. Well, we'll get into the Word of God tonight, and don't forget, as we begin our Equip series next week, we will have some variety of speakers. We'll have the ladies and the men will give the exact locations as far as what you do on Sunday. On Sunday, we will tell exactly what you do this coming Wednesday, so 1 week from tonight. But the one will be over in the chapel. The ladies will be. The men will be here. You'll go immediately when you come at 7 o'clock into those locations. We're going to have some great sessions over the next 4 weeks. I'm just excited about it and trust that you will be here for all of it. And, of course, the theme for the Equip series is the next generation, or what you'd love to tell the next generation. And I tonight give you the last lesson on that I'll give at this point for that theme or that thought, and talking about my son in the faith. And you remember that young Timothy was told by Paul that he had different things that he wanted him to do, and he called him his son in the faith. Of course, we know he was not his son, but he was somebody that was able to put a part of himself into. And so I've just been really consumed with this thought that there's a reason why so many people just seem to leave the faith, leave the stands, leave the family that they grew up in. And maybe we just didn't pray enough. Maybe we didn't take our role important enough to say, I'm truly giving myself into them, so that they can stand after I'm gone. Thou therefore, my son, 2 Timothy 2, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2, now verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, because of that, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, or that's victories or things won, if a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned. I mean, he doesn't get the reward, doesn't get all that, except he strive lawfully. Now, they're taking off of the idea of earning a prize in the Olympics or whatnot. If you don't follow the rules, you don't get to gain the prize. And the same it is, of course, living the Christian life. We're supposed to strive lawfully. So, you see the young man get from a seasoned man of God some instruction, some advice, some help. We're not going to teach through the whole chapter, but if you'd see verse number 6, it talks about also, he goes, he expounds on a little bit more, that the husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruit, and talks about how that man going out and serving the Lord is a husbandman. In verse number 14, down to 18 or 19, it talks about him being a diligent workman and study to show thyself approved unto God. In verse number 20, it talks about that servant of the Lord being a sanctified vessel. But in a great house, there's not only vessels of gold and of silver, but of wood, earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And then it finishes off the chapter in verse number 24 and 5 and 6 about him being a gentle servant. The servant of the Lord must not strive or be quarrelsome, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness. And so that's all about different ways that that young preacher boy could serve the Lord in the appropriate way. But I've chosen tonight to look at the first 5 verses, because it fits so well in what I wanted to convey to us tonight and to finish up until before we get ready to launch into the Equip series. And that is, this guy saying he's my son in the faith. And as we look at it, I trust the Lord will help us all give ourselves while we still have something to give before the Lord takes us on. I'm a big believer, regardless of how old you are, God was done with you. It's not like he's backed up on paperwork, and I say that with all reverence. It's not like he's a government agency that just hasn't got around to doing whatever. If he wanted you on, he'd take you. And sometimes that's hard on some of our families, even with dementia and Alzheimer's and things kick in, and I don't have all the answers. Thankfully, his ways are high above my ways and our ways, and so I don't have all the answers, but I know that God doesn't make mistakes. And so if he's left us here in whatever condition, be that for us to train somebody or teach somebody or affect somebody, knowingly or even unknowingly, God has purpose in all that he does. And so since you're here, and especially since you're here tonight, God's got something for you to do. And I trust we'll find a little bit about that tonight. Father, be with us now is our prayer. We'll thank you for it all and what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I want you to see this. The command is given to be strong. The command to be strong in verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. It's not taught very much. It used to be, but it's not taught very much that this world's pretty tough. And most folks aren't looking out for you. And that when the going gets tough, as the old saying goes, the tough is supposed to get going. And you know, it's unfortunately not taught very much to our young men anymore that life stinks a lot of times. But we don't do right by our family, by our wife, by our children, by our neighborhood, by our country. We don't do right just when it's easy. Some of the hardest times in our nations, or our nation rather, have been some of the sweetest times, and that is because people realized that things were in shambles, but they were still going to do what was right for their family. They were still going to fight for their freedom. They were still going to labor. You know where I come from in West Virginia? Coal miners by the hundreds and hundreds would go down to those mines back long before anybody came up with all the safety standards and things. Why'd they do it? Because they were providing for their family. And we don't have much of that anymore. Somebody will stay on their, and I don't mean to be unkind, but we'll stay on their couch and just wait for something to come to them. And when they ask, where are you working? I can't find anything. Vance Havner, an old preacher, said it's the reason a lot of people don't find opportunities because opportunities sometimes are on the end of a shovel handle. It's hard to find them when you're not reaching for it. But we see that the command is given to be strong in the Lord. Thou, for my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And you know you've heard all of the jokes about the day and age which we live with participation trophies, and everybody's a winner, and nobody, we don't even keep score. And those stories are whimsical sometimes, except they're too true to be funny, because those things are happening in sports and different things. People, you've seen different videos, I'm sure, like I have, people falling and crying when nobody even touches them. And they said, oh, they hurt me. That's the age in which we live. But the scriptures, the word of God, it's such a practical book. And it says that you're supposed to endure hardness as a good soldier, as it goes on to say. So the command is given to be strong. There's no need to teach your kids it's always going to be easy. You can make it easy for them all the time. If you've got a physical child in your home, you can make it easy for them all the time they grow up. But as the old saying goes, if somebody succeeds without suffering, then somebody suffered without succeeding. Either dad's working for it or the kid's working for it. Somebody's got to work for it. I know what you're thinking. You say, well, I wish we'd tell Congress that as they keep on passing money out. I know there's a reckoning day coming sometime. But I'm saying there's no need to indicate to young people that's always going to be easy, because all you're doing is just setting them up for disappointment. Now, I don't think you have to be which character was one of those cartoons, oh, woe is me, you know, Eeyore, the one on Winnie the Pooh. Hate to bring those strong doctrinal characters into your life, but, you know, that old donkey on Winnie the Pooh, nobody likes me, it's always going to be bad, it's always ugly. I don't think you have to be that way. But also, I think you ought to tell your kids, especially your boys and your grandsons as they grow up, that you just got to do some things because we're training you to be a man. And girls need the same thing. So we see that the command is given to be strong, and we do our kids a disservice when we teach them it's always going to be easy. I want you, though, to look at the next one underneath there. Remind them where their strength lies. Because look at the verse 1 again. Thou therefore endure heart, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace. And that's where we've got to tap into. Somehow, religious people got to be this fancy word, sissified, you know, that meaning that they aren't true men. You know, I know that sometimes they misportray even the Lord in some writings and different things, but you understand when you look at the work that the Lord Jesus Christ did. Of course, number one, he's the son of a carpenter and would have been taught that way. And when he came into the over the money changers, when he's beat, have to beat as he was, still carrying the cross as far as he could. I'm just trying to say that a effeminate Jesus that sometimes people try to put forth is not taught in the scriptures. Now, humble, meek, yes. And so we see here that strength is not a bad thing. Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And so remind them where their strength lies. If you get the opportunity to convey a little bit of your soul and your heart into somebody, remind them every chance you get that it's not because I was so smart. It's not because I was so this. It's not because of this. If I've got anything good and God's given it to me, it's that God's given it to me. And so we see here the command is given to be strong. Number two, we look here at verse number two. Remind them, as we go to the next verse, remind them there's an important reason for the theme for them to catch it. The theme for this is basically to you get it and they give it. But remind them there's an important reason for them to catch it, quote unquote. And look at it in verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Timothy wasn't the only one that needed the truth. There was going to be people after him. The same commit thou to faithful men. And so we understand that you are supposed to give some things that you've been given. And sometimes you get the raw end of the deal. Sometimes there's plenty of people in this room right now that you were taught the wrong way. But God put somebody in your life and the Word of God to teach you the right way. Many of you grew up and you didn't have a good, strong Christian father that said, here's what to do, or mother, here's what to do, but God put you around somebody. And so we see there was not only young Timothy that needed the truth that Paul was passing down, but he says, I want you not only to get it, but I also want you to give it to other people because the same commit thou to faithful men. He wasn't the only one that needed the truth. There's another generation coming. And when that generation gets off the scene, if Jesus is coming, there'll be another generation that comes. And so we need to continue the truth. It needs to be maintained. Why does it need to be maintained? It needs to be maintained so that we can give it to others. You understand, if we're not careful, there won't be anything to pass down. We'll get it so watered down. And we'll chuck out so many of the things. And this is the generation right now in which we live. We're deconstructing everything. We're questioning everything, accepting nothing. Meaning that people are looking at the way they were raised and says, I don't know if mom and dad should have done it that way. And I'm not going to do my kids that way. The thing that your mind obviously or naturally goes to is discipline and spankings and things of that nature. But it's happening in not only that arena, but every arena. There's people everywhere. Maybe you shouldn't, but you're obviously you can. It's kind of sickening after a while if you search for deconstructing Christianity. People are taking every tenet of traditional Christianity, the scriptural scriptural Christianity, and they're taking it all apart. And they're questioning everything. And I always say that the truth doesn't mind a challenge because God will come out right every time. That is fine. But where they're coming from that is tearing that apart, all the things that their fathers and their mothers and their grandmothers taught them. Said, I don't believe any of that. I'm going to have to investigate it for myself. And investigate we should. That's good. But when we scowl and we throw everything that's got God out and say, that doesn't fit in the new me anymore, that person's headed for heartbreak just like the ones that found the things out two generations ago, three generations ago, and the like. So if we're not careful, we won't have anything to pass down. Warren Wiersbe, the author and preacher from that's in heaven now, he recommended to preachers whenever they are looking at what's been done in the past. He used the analogy of a fence. He said, before you ever take a fence down, you ought to look and see why it was put there. And what he meant by that was, you may not readily see why there's a fence there. But before you go and say, I don't like that, I'm just going to take it all out, you ought to study and try to find out why it was put there. There's some good old wisdom coming out of those, the hills of Tennessee and the hills of West Virginia and hills of wherever, or flatlands of different places too. There's some, the older generation that's been through the fire. And maybe they can't articulate it as well as your favorite speaker. But we do well to listen to them and say, and understand when they say things, there's power behind some of those words. And so it needs to be maintained, the things that are passed down. And again, that's this I'm talking about biblical truth. Now, there are some old things that don't need to be passed down. One of my wife's grandma, somebody tell the kids, don't go upstairs in the dark, the booger man will get you. That's because she didn't want to chase grandkids. Well, that doesn't need to be passed down. You can leave that one off. Remind them, though, there's an important reason for them to catch it. I want to affect people before God takes me to heaven. I really do. I struggle with, sometimes you struggle with the position that you have, not that I struggle with what God's doing in our life, but it's a weighty matter, because I'll give an account for what I do, what this church does. I'm the pastor, and I'm the one that God will hold accountable and responsible, and that's a lot of weight. But I can't get away from the calling of God on my life, that this is what He wants me to do, and I just feel this need to give some of myself to people that God can use in their life. And I believe all of us, it can't all be the pastor, get crowded up here on the platform, but we can't all be the pastor, but we all ought to do that. We all ought to give some of us to other people, reminding them that there's a reason why you want those youth to catch some things. There's a reason why you need those grandbabies to get some things before God takes you to heaven. Why? Because there are some people that they need to teach after you're gone. And so number three, let's look at this. Because of our job, verse 3, we need to remember that we're supposed to endure the hard times. I already told you that we're weak in that in our nation. We don't teach people to get ready for the hard times. We just teach them it's all good. You watch social media, everybody's having a good day. You look on Facebook and Twitter and all. I know there's lots of times for prayer requests and things like that. But one preacher told me like, yes, he was talking about churches and pastors and big days and successes. He says, you ever notice that everybody has a good day on Twitter? And you know why that is? Because if you have a bad one, you don't put it on there. In my little world that I'm in, everybody had big days. Everybody had great attendance. Everybody had somebody saved. Everybody had somebody baptized. But then you look back, you say, well, he didn't post today, this Sunday. He didn't post this Sunday. He didn't post this Sunday. You know why they didn't post that Sunday? He didn't have anything to say. But boy, on the time he does, we finally had somebody come to the age of accountability and got saved. So we count them. We posted that day. So we're not good at enduring the hard times. And part of that is because we're so used to seeing television and social media and all the like, because it all looks fluffy. But it's not realistic. And so we've got to remind them in verse number 3 that they're going to have to endure hardness. Why? Because of the important job we've got. There's a reason why we can't get people to work, and I don't like to get political, you know that, and I'm political here, but I don't like to get out in the secular world all the time. But there's a reason why we can't get anybody to work in any of the stores, all of them that have help wanted. We've trained a couple generations. You don't have to do that kind of work. I mean, you all worked at the same place as I did and worked for a little bit of nothing, many of you. You say, why'd you have to do, why'd you do that? Well, because wasn't nothing else coming in. So either do that or gets old being at home even as a teenager with no money. And so we see here that, I don't know how I got on that, I'm just saying that we've not done a good job of teaching people endure hard times. And verse number 3 tells us spiritually you've got to remind them that they've got to endure hardness. Therefore, because of all the important truths that they've got to teach to other people, you're supposed to endure hardness as a good soldier. You know, they don't tell soldiers, listen, we're going to try to make it as easy as we can on you. We don't want to make you uncomfortable. They don't tell them that. They tell them a lot of nasty things and tell them, we own you. This is what, you're not with mama anymore. endure hardness as a good soldier. That's why the Lord talks about that as us Christians, and we've gotten soft in many of those things, but because of our job, because of what's needed to do, we've got to endure hardness. Why don't we just give up? And instead of enduring hardness, why don't we just take the easy road? Well, we know what the easy road goes. You understand that in church work, and again, I'm getting on in mind, that's where Timothy was laboring as well. But do you understand that most churches aren't holding the line on almost anything? Bible versions, we use whatever you want. That's not what we say here, but that's what the majority of churches say. For music, just whatever. We just let the society be our guide. Whatever's out there, if we live in the country, we'll use a little bit of country. If we live in the high music, we'll use some of that. We don't care. Hardly holding the line in that. Holding the line in sober living. You understand? It's getting harder and harder to find churches that. I mean, we're in a bubble here. Most of the churches that we fellowship with are strong in this, but it's getting harder and harder. David Gibbs told my pastor, he said, Brother Norris, you wouldn't believe the number of churches that I used to go into that have been great churches over the years, but they won't even draw a line on drinking alcohol. So they say, you shouldn't get drunk, but it's not bad. It's okay to drink. I mean, there's hardly any churches doing that. And the thing of modesty and dressing correctly and living dressing, acting like a Christian should, that's unheard of in churches. So why don't we hold the line? Why don't we hold the line? Well, or why should we hold the line? Because we're supposed to endure hardness as a good soldier. There's a warfare, but most of us have forgotten it. So we see here in verse number 3 that he tells us emphatically, endure hardness as a good soldier. When you don't think it's going right, just say, well, that's the way it is sometimes with soldiers. You don't think it's always easy? Well, that's just sometimes the way it is with soldiers. And reminding now as we move on down that no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. And certainly our Christians of today need that message. We're entangled with a lot of stuff. My brother was cutting some weed or brush with an axe the other day, and his feet got caught up into some grapevines and things. He fell back and landed on his axe. He was cutting, and he had to get stitches in his elbow and his finger. He got entangled. He's just burning some brush and cutting back there behind his house. And we know what it's like to get tangled up physically. Well, the scripture's telling Timothy specifically, but telling all of us in inference that we are not supposed to entangle or get involved and get all tangled up with the affairs of this life that he may please him. We've got another opportunity to please the Master. And I know that we're kind of scattering out here on some different topics, but you know it's been so long since I've heard a message. And I try to listen to a good bit of preaching, you know, at least parts of it as we prepare for other things. It's been a good while since I've heard a message on somebody just wanting to please Jesus. Not what I can get from him, just please him. I think we've gotten the attitude of, well, just tell me what's the bare minimum I can do and get by, and that's where I'll go. Give me the list. Why can't I do this? It's off the charts with living, with all kinds of things. My mind is racing, and we don't have time for all of those things. But it's off the charts of what people are wanting to do and then put the Christian stamp of approval on it. I mean, it's way past the days of Christian rock and roll music. We consider that tame anymore. We're talking about Christian immorality, that Christians aren't held now to, you know, God has already loved you as much as he possibly can. He loves you no matter what, so it really doesn't matter how you live. And it sounds somewhere like in the Bible where it says, since graces abound, should we just go and live however we want? And the scripture says, God forbid. You live in lasciviousness just because the grace is abounding. And so I promise you I wouldn't get off on different things. But I'm just saying that we have become entangled in the ways of the world. And this Living the life of a good soldier is another way for us to please the master. And I start on that little tirade by saying, it's been a long time since I heard a message that was just purely on how we can please Jesus. Because folks, that's what we're supposed to be living like anyways. How can I please him today? How can I love my Savior more today? Not what can I do and he won't be mad at me. How's as far as I can go in my lifestyle? How much can I drink, or how much can I take off, or how much can I cheat on my taxes, or how much can I do this, and how much can I without him getting really, really mad at me? Instead of all of that, where's that line? It should be, how much can I love him? My wife, we were talking recently, and she was talking about just kids and things, how important that old analogy is that we ought to, if we're riding one of those chariots, there's an old story about this, but you're riding one of those chariots and you've got it over there close to the edge of the cliff, and you, that guy says, I can get this thing, I can get it within inches of the side of that cliff. The king questions him, how close can you get, where do you drive it at? He says, I'm so skilled, I can get it within inches of the cliff. And the next one that comes back says, if I'm carrying precious cargo, I get it all the way back over against the hill as close as I can get, as far away from that cliff as I can get. And he says, that's the driver I want. My friend, I'm not talking about the people in this room, but we're living our lives as worldly often as we can, and we're doing as much as we can. God, I hope you're not mad about a bunch of this stuff. And we're forgetting what it says at the end of verse number 4. We're forgetting that it gives us a way to please him. Look at you, if you will. No man worth, that's the first part of verse 4. But at the end, he says, you don't get tangled up with the affairs of this life. Why? Well, so you can please him. So you can please him who's chosen you to be a soldier. At that point, it not only says that we shouldn't entangle ourselves because it's dangerous for the battle. That way, it shows us we're not supposed to be entangled in the things of this world, because that's yet another way that we can please our master. And then the last one you see in verse number 5 as we finish up. If a man's going to strive for masteries, means if you're going to try to get in a war, going to try to get the prize, he's not crowned. He doesn't get his ribbon around his neck. He doesn't get his gold medal. He doesn't do any of that, except he strive lawfully. Teach him to always walk right. You know, preacher Lassie went to Bob Jones University. Bob Jones Sr., the one that started it, would preach, and he would scowl. I've heard him I didn't hear him in person, but heard him on internet audio recordings. He would scowl, and he would say, do right. Tell those boys in chapel, though the stars fall out of God's heaven, do right. We ought to teach our kids, teach ourselves, of course, but teach those people we get the chance to do right even though nobody's watching. Somebody said character is doing right when you're in the dark. Doing right when you know you won't get caught doing wrong. Doing right when nobody's watching. Teach him to always walk right. That's what the scripture says. When you mean you strive for the masteries, he's not going to get his reward. He's not going to get crowned except he strive lawfully. So we started off the study by saying, if you're going to give an opportunity to teach somebody, to convey some things, teach him to be strong. Teach him that life stinks a lot of times. And you know what you do when you have a day that stinks? You got to get back up and go do it again tomorrow. I hope everybody has a job that you love, and I hope that it's always good. But even a job you love, there's some things that you hate about it. What are you going to do? Call in sick on those days? Doesn't work very well. We start off by saying, be strong. Teach them to be strong. But then we finish off by saying, teach them to do right. And I don't know of a lesson that people need more than that one. Do right. We are living in such a world that does right as long as it benefits them or if somebody's going to see. But we need a group of people who would just do right because God is always watching. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Would you help us, dear Lord, to put these things to practice in our lives to do right. As old Bob Jones said before he went to heaven, though the stars fall out of your heaven, dear Lord, do right. Help us to teach people, instruct people to stand and strive lawfully and do right. Bless us, we pray. Here's our invitation. It's hard to give an invitation on that because I'm preaching to the choir tonight. You're here on a Wednesday night. I get to see you live your lives throughout the week, and you're trying to strive to live for the Lord. But maybe you can just make a prayer tonight. Lord, I don't know how many more years you've given me, you're going to give me, but I want to affect some people before I'd go. That's some of the teenagers. They're slipping out past the doors now, going to the Family Life Center to play after the lessons they got from Brother Kyle. Maybe it's one of them. Maybe it's a young family. Maybe you've got some things in your life that God has put on your heart, and you want to help encourage some young couples that are in this room tonight. Father, bless us now to take the Word of God and apply it to our lives in Jesus' name. If you're able, would you stand together with me? And as they begin to play, and if God spoke to your heart, this altar's open. I never want to close a service because I don't know who's here without asking this question. If you're here tonight and you're not sure that Jesus is your personal Savior, you know He's the Savior, you know who He is, yes, but you're not sure He's your personal Savior, you've got some doubts about it, you've got some worries, some concerns, would you step out and come? I'm watching down here at the front. I'd love to take a Bible and just show you how you can be certain. Lay your head on a pillow tonight, not worried about where you're going. I invite you to come. And Christian, would you pray that prayer I mentioned before? Lord, I believe with your help I've got some things to teach. Oh, I don't mean the Sunday school class. It can, I guess. But I can affect if you'd give me the opportunity, if you'd give me somebody, maybe give me a neighbor, maybe somebody that I can be a help to. Thank you. May look this way. What a joy to be in church tonight. I want to rejoice with this. I met right before the service with Lauren Prillhart. Lauren's right over there. She came to me earlier, and she's wants to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Been here for a long time, but then gone for a little while. She is saved, baptized, and agrees with, of course, our statement of faith and doctrines, and we're rejoicing about that. So we would like to receive her in the membership. If somebody would make a motion about that, Brother Marty Scroggs, and then Brother Rick McConnell seconds it back there. I got in trouble the other day, but is Tom Cole here tonight? He's not here tonight. He said, "You never look up in the balcony." I said, "Well, Tom," and now he's not here tonight. I'm going to mention that to him. Tom, I looked and looked and looked all over that balcony, and you weren't there, but we get Rick McConnell. So, and all in favor say amen. Amen. And Lauren's a blessing, using her talents for the Lord and singing and trying to serve the Lord too. So we praise the Lord for that. What a joy. So thank you for being in church tonight. And we're so glad to see you. I hope that you talk to somebody who you haven't talked to yet before you leave tonight, because somebody may need encouragement. So God bless you. You're dismissed.